I'll tell you, there's one question that absolutely trips me up every time I'm asked it, and I'm asked it quite a bit, and it's the question that goes something like this. What's your one best piece of advice that you would give to a salesperson? Now, I must sound like a complete idiot to you in owning up to that. It's very difficult for me because sales isn't about one thing. It's about lots and lots and lots of things. If it was just about doing one thing, well, then we'd have like a hell of a lot more people being a hell of a lot more successful at sales. But there is one category that I think that a lot of salespeople miss, and it's something that they certainly could stand to improve upon, and it's their sales messaging. And what I mean by that, everything in sales, if you think about it, from how we approach a potential client, what we're saying in that email, what we're saying when we get them on the phone, what we're saying in that voicemail, and certainly how we're saying it, it's messaging, but it doesn't stop there. It's even the messaging when, like, you've had an appointment with somebody and that follow-up. How do we follow up in a way that we're not always calling to check in? And certainly, how can we do all these things that we're not sounding like everyone else trying to do business with them? So today, I thought we'd go there. My name is Paul Castain, and I'm the author of the YourSalesPlaybook.com blog and your host for the Sales Playbook Podcast. I've personally trained over 20,000 sales reps, sales leaders, and business owners to sell more. So get your playbooks ready because school is now in session. Okay, so before we get down to business, because you know how I like to roll, I'm not a big fan of these podcasts that go on and on, dicking around for like 10 or 15 minutes, and you're like, geez, man, it's like a 20-minute podcast. Like, when the hell are you going to get to the point? I'm not a big fan of fluff, so that's why I like to get down to business. And maybe it's the New York in me, man. We're guilty of, like, just kind of, like, getting right to it. But before we get started, I do have a really cool freebie for you. And here's what it is. I put out these free sales tips, not just over on my blog on yoursalesplaybook.com, but I have ones that if you subscribe, I send a lot of my better content out for free. And when I say better content, I don't mean just sales tips, but from time to time, I'll do free PDFs, free worksheets. I'll also let people know of any like little special discounts that we have on the upcoming programs and certainly on the coaching program from time to time as they become available. So if you'd like to get your free sales tips, all you have to do is go to yoursalesplaybook.com/sales tips. yoursalesplaybook.com/sales tips. And that was about a minute that I went on and on. And that's way too effing long for your Uncle Paul to ramble like that. So let us get down to business. Our topic today is sales messaging. How can we make it better? Now, I've had this conversation with a lot of sales teams, and usually people have shared with me, well, isn't that like a marketing type of problem? I guess it could be, but anytime somebody wants to put something off on marketing, what I tell people is that, you know, marketing, they're really good at marketing the company, but they're really not good at marketing you and or marketing you in your voice. They're very good at marketing in a corporate voice and the company, but I really believe that people buy us first as sales professionals, then the company and the widget and all that kind of stuff, but we're like the front line. So today it's all about messaging, and the first category of messaging is going to be your emails and your handwritten notes. Now, again, right about now, you might be thinking, handwritten notes? What are you talking about, like thank you cards? Anytime I talk about handwritten notes, and I say, how many people are sending out handwritten notes? I'll get about 50% of the room will raise their hands. And then I say, wait a minute now, let's be very, very clear. We're not talking like about like just about like thank you notes. I'm talking about you as part of your messaging, as part of like your prospecting cadence. You know, are there handwritten notes in the mix? And that room just dwindles down to like two people that are kind of raising their hand because like still, you know, like they don't want to fully commit or whatever. So we're talking about emails and handwritten notes. That should be part of your total arsenal. So the very first way that we improve our communication, and these are not just exclusive to emails and notes, certainly with calling people up, it could also be contacting people from via LinkedIn, it could be face-to-face or whatever, but the very first thing that I want you to think about before you fire out an email or send a note out in the mail, I want you to ask a question. And I want you to think about, what's your objective here? And in other words, what do you want this person to do as a result of reading your email or your note? Let's say that again. What do you want them to do as a result of reading your note? And remember, like I said before, this can go across other forms of communication as well. So don't just think this just applies exclusively to email and notes. So now, right about now, you might also be thinking, well, Paul, I mean, duh, the objective is like they buy. Or, well, duh, Castain, the objective is that like they agree to an appointment. Well, yeah, I guess, you know, there's you're not wrong in thinking that. But imagine how boring it is to the recipient if every single email from you and or note is basically asking them to buy or grant you an appointment. This, I always use the analogy of this being a courtship, right? This is a courtship. And a good courtship is going to have interesting dates. It's not going to have the same shitty date over and over and over again with the same shitty conversation. Right? I mean, it's just after a while, I mean, you are conditioning people not to read your message. And we don't want to do that. So what we want to do instead is think about, well, yeah, I mean, we want people to ultimately buy from us. And yes, we want people to agree to meet with us. But maybe like the point of a particular email that you're going to send, certainly not every one of them, is for them to see you as an authority, to like demonstrate your expertise to them. Maybe the point of an email or something you send them via snail mail or FedEx is to provide evidence to eliminate or at least like diminish any doubt that they have. That we want to provide them with kind of like an answer to, well, okay, well, who says so besides you, Castain? Right? We want to do that, but also too, maybe the point of a particular email is to draw them out because they've been non-responsive. And one of the ways that we draw people out is by asking them a question. It could also be by throwing them a left hook and using a technique that we refer to in the programs that we have here as a pattern interrupt. So my whole point here is just by simply saying, okay, wait a minute. Before like I hit send on that email, before I put that little handwritten, like write that handwritten note and stuff it in an envelope, what am I really trying to do here? And the answer cannot always be to set an appointment or get them to buy from you. Because to me, and forgive me for being rather blunt and probably quite a bit offensive, now you're like that guy in the bar at 3 a.m. who's looking to get laid. That's who you have become. You can laugh about it. You can say, oh, that's a really bad example. But I'm telling you, that's exactly how you're coming across. But nobody just like had the balls to tell you. And I'm telling you it. That's how you're coming across. And this isn't like some hypothesis of mine or some theory of mine or like I'm getting philosophical on you. I mean, I own a business. So I really have the benefit of not only training people, but I also have the benefit of being on the receiving end of a lot of really bad sales messages, but also some really good ones too. So we want to avoid that always like the same shitty date, same shitty conversation. So you want to change it up. But the way that we change it up is by simply asking, well, what do I want to do here? Right? Do I want to build my credibility? Do I want to draw them out? Do I want to diminish doubt here? Do I want to be useful and helpful? Everybody always tells me, hey, you know, you have to provide value. How in the F do you do that? I mean, seriously, How do you do that? In fact, do me a favor. From now on, anytime you come across a quote-unquote sales thought leader or a sales guru or a sales expert, and they say that shit to you, would you just do me a favor and yourself a favor? Just raise your hand. Excuse me, not trying to be disrespectful. How do I do that? Ask them, how do you do that? Because it's a cute phrase that many of us in like the sales training world have become way too comfortable in saying. But really, like the real sales thought leaders out there are telling you how the hell to do that. Because it's not going to do you any good saying the same. You've got to provide value. You've got to be a trusted advisor. Okay, great. How? Help me out with that one. But anyway, enough of that rant. But so that's the first thing that you're going to do. The next thing that you want to do is you want to read your message out loud, right? Feel free to say duh on that one. You've heard it a million times. But, you know, forgive me for being a smartass, but if you just rolled your eyes at me and gave me a duh, or you labeled that as sales 101, or even you had the balls to like put your finger toward the fast forward button, like to get around this nonsense, let me ask you a question. Right? It's sales 101. It's real basic, but are you doing it? Because if you're not doing it, you need to shut up. You need to take your message. You take your medicine, and I will not delete that out. I don't do that shit on my podcast. You get it all, man, because if I was sitting with you and talking with you, I would say, all right, let's back up. Let's edit what I just said. I can't do that. So you get all this shit, even when I cough or whatever it is. And I'll tell you what, if ever like I drink too much and I throw up on this goddamn podcast, you're getting that too. But anyway, enough of that. So you want to read it out loud. And the reason why you want to read it out loud is to make sure that you are conveying the proper tone. And also, there's another thing that you want to do. When you read it out loud, you want to use your Uncle Paul's patented, which it really isn't, but it made me sound really, made me feel really good saying my patented, like I'm very important. And like my very important kitchen table test, it's called, right? It's called the kitchen table test, meaning that when you read shit out loud, and like you got to ask yourself, would I say this at the kitchen table, having a cup of coffee or a beer with my potential client or my client? And if the answer is no, then don't you dare send that message. I mean, there are like these messages that come out, and this, I guess it's like going to sound like I am bashing the marketing department. I'm really not. I love marketing, and I appreciate them because I'm a one-man act. I wish I had a marketing department. Take that, like, you know, off my plate or portion of it. But my argument is with some of the marketers that are out there is that their messaging is very corporate, and it is littered with marketing speak. And if when I'm reading my message out loud, I'm evaluating it using the kitchen table test, and if it's filled with all kinds of shit like we're a full service and we're offer end-to-end comprehensive one source, you're in business for yourself but not by yourself. If it's littered with that kind of shit, I remind myself, because like I just like I have crazy thoughts. That's just the way I am. I remind myself, hey, Paul, people don't speak that way. And like, I fixed the message because, see, if you were sitting at my kitchen table and yeah, we would not be having a cup of coffee. Let's be honest. It's just you would not be having a cup of coffee with me at my kitchen table. And I mean, unless you came over here at 5:30 in the morning, and I don't want to see anybody at 5:30, like not even my wife, and she doesn't want to see me at 5:30. So we're not having coffee. We're having a beer, or like in the summer months, we're going to probably, and by the way, here's a bonus tip. We are going to go on a quick, brief tangent here, but this, I'm going to say you're welcome in advance, because this is going to be the best damn piece of advice, drinking advice, anybody ever gave you, which we need more of in sales, by the way. We need people learning how to properly drink in sales, right? That's going to be another podcast episode. But for now, what you need to do when the weather gets nice, you need to go to like Dunkin' Donuts. They should pay me for this shit. I should get endorsement money from them for this, put one of my kids through college from it. But no, right now, it's going to be like free for the universe here. You need to go to Dunkin' Donuts and get yourself, they have those culottes. I get the strawberry colada because that's just like, it's just my thing. I think they have a pineapple one or whatever. I don't know. But they have at least another flavor. But I get the strawberry colada. I bring that home on a nice, like, hot day. I don't do this during the business week. I want to be very clear on this in case, like, your boss is listening to you. I'm not saying get loaded on company time. What I'm saying is, like, off hours, it's warm out. You go get yourself a colada. And then when you get home, you know what you do? You go and you throw some rum in that, or I like to put tequila in mine, and you have yourself a ready-made little drink. You mix it up. I do that shit when I'm camping because I don't have a blender when I'm camping. Go figure. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. And I don't know how the hell we got off on that whole tangent. But my whole point is that if you were sitting at my kitchen table, I'm not going to sit there and go, well, Nancy, you know, Castain Training Systems offers end-to-end solutions, full service, and, you know, and just one last thing. What in the hell does full service mean? I am still trying to get my arms around that one. What does it mean? I mean, if you're in my age group, we got people out there that are like, you know, like, I'm going to be 53 this year. Like, I think of full service, like the old gas stations. Like, it said full service, but back in the old days, full service, they checked your oil and shit like that. Like, but what does it mean in business, full service? Like, somebody's going to come out and rotate your tires for you? Like, when you go and talk to them about computer software or buy print from them? Like, what? It's just used and abused, and it's cliched. So the kitchen table test will keep you from going down that road. But the other thing that I do to improve my messaging is I also try to premeditate my communication instead of seat-of-my-pants communication. So let me explain what I mean by that. Most salespeople, they have a little alert that goes off, right, in their CRM. That's pretty cool that we're not just leaving it to memory. We have this little alert that goes off that says, you know, call the ABC company or just says ABC company to remind you to get in touch with them. And then the average person, what they do is, like, while their hand is reaching for the phone to call them or while their fingers are going toward the keyboard to fire off an email, they're thinking about what that communication is going to sound like. And I don't care how witty you are or, like, just how quick you are and, like, on a comeback or whatever it is, that the quality of that communication is never going to be as good as communication that has been premeditated. But how do we premeditate that communication? Well, there's a few ways. I mean, number one, this is why I'm an advocate of having, like, email templates. I mean, you could have, you know, all different types of templates. You could have your intro type of template. You could have your follow-up one. How about one that where you're sending them a resource? Again, it depends on what the objective is of that email. Like, what do we want them to do as a result of reading that email? And it can't always be, well, I want them to buy or I want them to set an appointment. Sometimes we have to have other dates in there that are leading up to the proposal or whatever. And I almost said something really inappropriate. That's why I'm laughing. I'm sorry, folks. Again, I won't edit it out. But, you know, it could be we have an email that's like a question, again, to draw them out. So you need to premeditate that communication, have some templates. But the other way that you premeditate communication is by, we teach a process called communication mapping at Castain Training Systems, and certainly in all the webinars and stuff that I do, it's in almost every webinar that we do. And what communication mapping is when you think out, okay, what's touch number one going to be? And you identify what that is going to be. And then you say to yourself, okay, after I've done touch number one, how long do I wait before touch number two, and what is touch number two going to be? And if I don't connect or I don't hear from them or whatever, it's like if-then statements. If we don't hear from them or, you know, make contact, what is the next touch? And I think three at a time. Three works really well with the brain, and we've talked about that on this podcast before. The brain can really get the brain around threes a lot easier than, say, if you were to, like, map out your next 18. And that's the difference between you and the marketing department. The marketing department if they're a good marketing department, they've pre-planned their communication, their marketing messages, for the next year to 18 months. They certainly aren't just thinking in terms of what they're going to do this month and next month. They have a marketing calendar. Well, the salesperson's version of this is to kind of think three at a time. And so when you're approaching a potential client, you might want to think, okay, what are my next three touches? When you've met with someone and the deal is already on the table and now, you know, they have to do some things internally and make up their mind and all this, well, you're really vulnerable during that point because you're not meeting with them anymore. So what's your communication map going to be during that time? Is it going to be simply calling to follow up or circling back or, you know, I just wanted to touch base with you, calling to check in, all that kind of stuff. So what are you going to do? So if you think it out ahead of time, you'll find that the quality of your communication dramatically improves. So the final thing that you can do with your email and your notes, but I think it would be more for email that you could do this. And I don't have the right term for this. This was told to me a long, long time ago by a president of one of the companies that I was doing some work for. And he said what they do on their sales team is every once in a while, I think he called it like an email clinic or an email workshop, whatever the hell it was. It's better than the way I'm describing it. And he said that every once in a while, the team gets together and their job is to bring a few of the emails that they're using. And he doesn't want the same one. He wants, sometimes he's very specific. I want your intro email. I want a follow-up email. And maybe, you know, another follow-up email. Bring two to three. And what they do is they take time and they review the emails and critique them as a team. Now this, I don't think it would work real well if you had a tremendous amount of people on your sales team. It just might be a lot of chaos or whatever, but it might be something for you to consider because I think as salespeople, this is both good and bad. We're a brutal crowd. And I think if you could take it through, all the, like, you know, critiques and brutal responses you might get, and it can survive, you know, the critical eye of the salespeople, or critical eyes if they have more than one eye, which I could only assume that the people on your team do, it would just be kind of, in a way, training tougher than reality. And some of it you have to take with a grain of salt because, again, we're a brutal audience. I think, at the very least, it's going to help you have a tough, you know, a thicker skin. But secondly, it would be very interesting to get their feedback. But even beyond that, it would be very interesting to notice that with the different personalities and styles on your sales team, how different people approach the intro of the company, the intro email, or the follow-up, or, you know, hey, everyone, you know, here's the email that I use when a potential client goes silent. You're going to learn a lot that way. And it'll be helpful. Now, sales managers that are listening to this, what you can do as part of this is have everyone email their emails to you. And what you can do, or to your assistant, and what you can do is you can compile all of these onto a Word doc or a series of Word docs and get it back out to the team so that now they have a bunch of templates that they could use. The reason why I like it as a Word doc, and the reason why, by the way, if you ever go through any of my webinars or courses, the reason why when I send a template, I send it as a Word doc is because now we can really encourage people to modify the communication according to their style and their personality. And it doesn't come across as like phony and scripted and everything else. You can really modify it to your needs. So that's what I do with emails and notes. There's a lot more that we can do with it. And some of these ideas, like I said, can also be applied on this next portion of the podcast where we talk about the phone. How do we improve our sales messaging when it comes to the phone? So here are some things that you can do to practice a little bit more with the phone. This piece of advice I've given a lot. And I will tell you, this is one of those ones where I always get a lot of great feedback on it, where people usually say to me, hey, I've been following this advice now for 3 weeks and, you know, or 2 months or whatever, and I've been getting great results. Here it is. And I don't want you to dismiss it because of its simplicity, but every day when you either start your day or you're in your car on your way to work, I want you to be very safe in how you do this, but call your voicemail. And you're going to do the same thing at the end of the day or when you're in your car on the way home, whatever. So whether you work from home or you're commuting to the office, as you begin and end your day, you're going to call your voicemail and leave yourself a quick 30-second message. Now, this does a few things. Number one, gets the vocal cords going, and it's kind of part of your warm-up to, like, just like, you know, get you used to kind of talking the message or whatever. But the other thing that this does is it gives you an opportunity to put on your humble student's cap. And the way that we do that is that we leave that 30-second message, and then what we do when we get into the office, or again, if you're doing this from home because you work from home, what you can do is after you leave the message, review the message and take, you know, another, I don't know, about another minute or so to just briefly listen to yourself and evaluate yourself on your tone and the words that you're using, the message itself. I mean, do you sound confident? I mean, and listen to it like through like the ears of your prospect or your client, if it's something that's going to be something that you would leave for a client. But going back to the message itself that you're going to leave for yourself, because people always say, well, what's the message? It could be a few things. I mean, you're not going to like leave yourself like a message like me calling, hey, Paul, just wanted to leave your message, right? We're not doing that. What we're doing is several things. Number one, you could use like kind of your call script, whatever. And I don't really like the word script, by the way. Many times I'll refer to it as like, you know, like your call template or your call track. Leave that on there. That's one thing you can do, and evaluate it. The other thing that you could do is perhaps leave a talking point about like one of the selling points that you have, like one of the talking points, one of the bulleted items. Take people through it. If you have a specific conversation coming up that day, you could go through one of the talking points very quickly, 30 seconds to 45 seconds or less. We want to make it very quick. We don't want this to be lengthy where you're spending 3 hours doing this, because then you're going to avoid it every day. We want to make it short and sweet and to the point. And you could evaluate that. You could even leave just one rebuttal to a common objection. So if you usually hear not interested, just like call your voicemail and respond as you would if somebody said not interested. Perhaps then you could take, well, I'm too busy. And you could do the same thing. Then you could move on to, we're under contract, or, you know, we're all set, or we have a vendor for that. We're already working with a sales trainer, Castain. And you just leave a very quick response. And what this is going to do, it's going to really work those prospecting muscles for you, but it's also going to do something really cool, because if you do this twice a day, that's two extra practice sessions a day, probably two more than you're doing now, if we're being honest with each other. Also, it's 10 a week, and it's 500 a year. And here's the deal, folks. If you started right now, and you, like, now we fast forward time and it's a year later, you're going to have 500 more practice sessions where you're surgically, like, you know, like very, very, you're being very surgical here, and you're concentrating on different parts of your messaging. Again, it could be that phone template or opening statement. It could be a talking point. It could be handling an objection. It could be closing the appointment. It could be following up with someone on a particular proposal that you did. You're going to get really, really good at that messaging. But that ability to step back and listen to yourself is huge. And that brings us to the next concept. And the next concept here, I call it game tape times two. Game tape times two. So we all know, if you follow sports, that one of the biggest things they do, especially like in football, is they watch the game tape. And this is really, really important to the coaches, certainly the team, because they can see what they did well and where they might have lost control of the game. And this is what you can do as well. So the first part, because I did say it's times two. So let's talk about the times one part. Game tape. What you can do is tape your end of the conversation. So if you're using a landline, what you can do is you could just use your smartphone and you can record your end of the conversation. The reason why I'm saying that is because the laws change on this whole, you know, is it legal to record a conversation thing? And one thing that you'll find state to state that remains the same is that it's perfectly legal to tape your end of the phone conversation. And by the way, you can learn an awful lot just by listening to your end of it. And you want to listen to it in a way with the same critical ear that you would during those twice a day practice sessions that we were talking about before. You're going to listen to yourself and you're going to hear, and I want you to listen for different things. Listen to that opening statement. Was it strong? Did you sound confident? Were you clear and concise? Did you offer something that really answered that question? What's in it for me? Did you make it relevant? Did you have a clear call to action? Did you, you know, suggest that next step? How did you handle any objections? You know, and speaking of objections, I mean, if you go back and really listening to the opening statement, was there anything in that opening statement that could have maybe prevented anything that you could have done in the opening statement that could have prevented the objection a little bit later on? So you want to listen to it that way. But the other thing that you can do is you can, because I said times two, game tape. And this is one that like nobody ever does. You can videotape yourself when you're making some calls. And you're not going to just do it with one. You're going to run that videotape and kind of videotape yourself doing a call cluster of at least 3 to 5 calls. And what you want to do here is you can certainly listen to yourself that way as well, but what you can do is kill the sound and just look at your body language and your facial expressions and kind of ask yourself the question, if I didn't know what I was saying there, based only on the visual representation of that message, what would I think was going on here? And this is just such an interesting thing to do. And it still amazes me because sometimes I catch myself and I'm like, I didn't smile once during those 3 calls. And every one of those 3 calls tanked. And I'm wondering if, okay, like, you know, I was probably not in the best mood that I could have been. And I bet you somehow that kind of radiated on those calls that I did. So things like that, I'm looking at my posture. I'm looking like, am I sitting confidently or am I like slumped over? Do I look like I'd rather be somewhere else or whatever? Am I distracted? You know, when they threw an objection at me, did I like eye roll and get like, have like a real shitty look on my face or whatever? But that could be very, very helpful to you. But I did say times two. We can just, for the hell of it, we're going to supersize this tip and we're going to make it a times 3. The other thing that you can do, and I'm sure you've heard this one, is have a mirror right there on your desk, because the mirror is an early warning system for you. You can see those facial expressions. And you could see, again, if you're not smiling, well, you can even put the word, like a little like piece of, like a little label on it, on the mirror that's a smile to remind you to do it. By the way, there's something else that you can do. If you get nervous when you're on the phone, not only is it good to remind yourself to smile, because, by the way, when you're smiling and you're nervous, it kind of like doesn't kill all of the nervousness, but it like diminishes it, like kind of, you know, dissolve some of that nervousness. But the other thing that you can do is, if you get nervous a lot when you're on the phone, is put the word breathe. You could even put smile and breathe, because a lot of the time when we get very nervous, the adrenaline kicks in. And when adrenaline kicks in, it can do some very evil things to us when we're trying to sell. Number one, it could really screw with your voice. Adrenaline could make your voice sound very nervous. It could make it go up like several thousand decibels as well, just very, very high pitch and very loud, and talk a lot faster than we should, and maybe not as clear. But also, when you hear the adrenaline in your voice and you hear the shakiness in your voice, guess what that does? It makes you more nervous. So you become this nervousness generating machine, which is not a good thing. So that's something that you need to do. But it also throws off your breathing. And when your breathing gets thrown off, like think about any time you've had an argument with somebody or a confrontation or you're in an unpleasant thing. Sometimes even the people that are in the best shape, they get a little short of breath.
That's adrenaline being released, many times being released into your system. So the way that you kind of get things leveled back out and getting it back to neutral, so to speak, is by just remembering to breathe. And not only the breathing is going to help you calm down and become just a little bit slower and a little more intentional, but what it's also going to do, if you see the word breathe on a mirror, it's going to force you to focus on the word breathe and not all the things that are making you nervous. So that's kind of a bonus tip that you can think about, which really does affect your messaging. Because one thing I want to tell you that we talk a lot about in the webinars is that I really believe that people respond in kind. They respond in kind. And what I mean by that is that if you sound uptight, I think it's very easy for someone else to be uptight with you. If you sound pissed off, I think it's very easy for somebody to respond in kind and be pissed off as well. And don't get me wrong, there are some miserable people out there that no matter what, if you handed them a check for $5 million, they would still be shitty with you. So I'm not talking about them. I'm not talking about these people that are obviously like possessed by some kind of evil effing spirit. I'm talking about the fact that just in general, you'll notice that people respond in kind. So something to think about there. But the last thing that I want to throw at you, and then we'll wrap up, is if you want to really improve the quality of your messaging, one of the things that you can do for the phone is you can do some sparring. And what we mean by that is find someone on your team, and it doesn't have to be someone just on your team. It could be someone else in sales. It could be your significant other. It could be a sibling, a buddy, or whatever it is. But usually, I think it's best with another salesperson. And what you do is you work it out that once a week or twice a week. You could do it every day, by the way, if you want. But for now, I would say once a week on a day that you know that you're going to be making some outbound prospecting calls. And what you do is you have it worked out. You set a time that you're going to like have this call with each other. You call them and you go right into character. And what you're going to do is you're going to say whatever it is that you would say as part of your cold calling template, if you will, or your calling track or opening statement, whatever you want to call it. You're going to say what you would say. And their job is to pepper you with objections. And you're going to respond. Now, if you want to raise the bar a little bit on this, don't just have it where they throw an objection and you respond. What you want to do is, like what I really like to do, is have a rule in place that every time somebody throws an objection at you, you have to give them three responses. So let's just say you call me up and I say, I'm really sorry, but I really don't have time to meet with you. So that's objection number one. You're going to answer that objection. Then my job as your sparring buddy is to say, you know what? I mean, truth be told, I'm still too busy. Nice response, but I'm still too busy. Now you have to give them a completely different response from that. And then when you get done with that, I'm going to say, you know what? Great response, but I'm still way too busy. And then you come back with yet another response. And if I really want to be a prick, what I can do after that is to say, you know what? I lied. I don't know what I was thinking, man. I guess I'm really not interested. Now you got to respond to that shit three times. So here's my point. And I always say this to sales teams. If we're going to role play, I don't mean any of that kinky shit where, like, you know, guys dress up as chicks and stuff like that, like ball in the mouth type of like stuff we're talking about. I'm talking about, like, if we're going to do like role playing in sales, the problem with role playing in sales is that number one, it's corny as hell. Number two, people give in way too easy. And that's the real world. They don't give in easy. There's like, okay, great response. And they just like, you know, fall over and like, you know, give you the appointment. It doesn't happen that way. So what we want to do is we want to, and by the way, I got this from my brother, who was a Navy SEAL. Honest to God, he was a Navy SEAL, served proudly at the tail end of Vietnam. And one of the things that he told me about the Navy SEALs is that they train tougher than actual reality. And the problem is with most people in a training scenario is they don't train tough enough. They train like, okay, if you do this one thing, you win. You dominate your opponent. It doesn't work that way. And also, too, there are things that play into things, unexpected things that we have to be prepared for. So your job is to always train tougher than reality. So the way that we do it in this context here is by having to respond three different responses for every objection they throw at us. But you guys can spar and do that. But the final thing that you can do here, and I wouldn't even say to just kick it up a notch, because I just think this should be a given. You should be doing it anyway. But that call, maybe you both should call into like the company, like conference, like line. You should. By the way, there's something, I don't know if it's still called this, but I signed up for something called Uber Call. And, you know, it used to be called Uber Call. Now I think it's something else. But if you like Google Uber Call, you could. It's a free conference call type of thing. And I think you get maybe up to five lines for free. It is clear as hell, man. I have interviewed some of my podcast guests. I haven't had many podcast guests, but I remember interviewing like Richie DeMarco on there and Jamie McLennan. And it was nice and clear. And you can record your conversations there. So if you both call into that line, right, that conference call line, and you hit record, it gives you the ability to step back and listen to your own performance. And that is a really important thing in sales, because, yes, we can have awareness at the time that we're involved in a dialogue and that communication. And we certainly can, and we can adjust as we go. But to me, when you can actually step back and hear what was said to you and how you reacted and where you kind of gained control, where you lost control, where your tone and the gist of your message was spot on, and where I was like, what was I thinking with that phrase? And the final thing that I want you to keep in mind is when you do that, I would have your journal right by you. Same way, like when you're listening to those voicemails that you leave yourself, when you're listening to your game tape that we talked about, when you're listening to the tape, the recording of these sparring sessions, if you have your journal right by you and you take some notes, this to me is how you truly become that humble student that we always talk about. Because you're basically telling your brain, okay, brain, listen, we're not doing this just for the hell of it. We're not trying to kill time in our day by filling it up with tedious little exercises from Castain. What we're doing here is we're learning. We want to find opportunities where we can do something better. And here's like an interesting thing that I found when it comes to messaging, is that some of the best things that you guys are going to come up with happen when somebody throws you off balance. I want you to think about that. It happens when you are thrown off balance. Did you ever have somebody say something to you and it was the equivalent of a left hook, like, holy shit, I wasn't expecting that one, or like, where did that come from? That was so unexpected or whatever. See, when you get verbally thrown off balance, it's very much the same as getting physically thrown off balance. Because think about it. Right now, if you lost your balance, your hands would go out and they would reach for something to grab onto. In a verbal situation, you are reaching for the words to say, for the rebuttal, for the comeback, for, you know, something to kind of regain control. And I'm here to tell you that in that moment of reaching, we're either going to come up with something absolutely brilliant, or we're going to come up with something that's horrific. But either way, I think there's a learning moment for you guys. So the final thing that I want to tell you is not free. I mean, imagine that. I just gave you 40 minutes of free shit, and now, like, the nerve of this Castain to, like, talk about something that actually is going to cost you a few bucks. The other thing that you can do is join us on April 19th at 11:30 a.m. Eastern Time, because we're going to be doing a webinar that's appropriately titled 50 Ways to Rock Your Sales Messaging. Now, let me just give you just like a quick overview of what we're going to be doing. We're going to talk about a four-step messaging framework that works brilliantly, if I do say so myself, on the phone, email, snail mail, and LinkedIn certainly, but really a lot of the places where you're communicating. And we're going to talk about things like your cold calling script. I actually have one for you. I have a template I'm going to give you, but it follows those four steps in the messaging framework. I also have four voicemail templates as well. In addition to that, we have five email templates I'm going to send you. But we're going to talk about how, in general, we can make your messaging just like a bit more objection resistant. So instead of like us concentrating on, okay, when people throw objections at us, what do we say? Why don't we start earlier for a change in the process? Instead of putting a Band-Aid, Let's talk about, well, what can we say and do to make them less likely to push back? We're going to talk about several psychological tactics that you should be using as well. So if you'd like to learn more, I'm not going to go into the whole thing here, but I want you to just jot down the following link. I made it nice and easy so that you can remember it. You can go visit, you can learn more and reserve your spot and get those free templates that I have set aside for you. If you go to yoursalesplaybook.com/messaging, yoursalesplaybook.com/messaging. You can learn more, reserve your spots and, you know, your spot. And if you can't make it, sign up anyway, not just so that you donate to the Castain Foundation here, but because if you can't make it live, I mean, sign up anyway, and like, I'll send you the webinar replay. I'm going to send you the opening statement templates. I'll send you the email templates, the voicemail templates, and all the goodies that go along with this. So with that, I'm Paul Castain from YourSalesPlaybook.com. I am wishing you an incredible week ahead. Go get them. The Sales Playbook Podcast is a Castain Training Systems production. Visit us at www.yoursalesplaybook.com.